Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, and it's good to take the advice of what they just sang. We need to leave everything in the hands of the Lord, don't we? Amen? Amen. Well, it's cold out this morning. Did you know that yesterday was the anniversary, 47 years ago from yesterday, it snowed deep enough that people could write messages on windshields in Miami? So we have something to be thankful for this morning. It's not snowing. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray this morning and let's welcome the Lord into this house of worship as we just give our hearts and our lives over to Him today. Father, thank You for this opportunity of coming together to lift up the name of Jesus. We're so grateful for everything that Jesus has done for us. Lord, You've saved us. You've set us free. You've given us peace and joy and satisfaction. And Father, this morning, as the Bible says, we're to come into the house of the Lord. We're to enter Your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and come into Your courts with praise. And so we are in today in the house of the Lord. And we lift up the name of Jesus. And we give You all the honor and all of the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Worship the Lord together as Steve comes and leads us today.
Amen. Are you ready to sing this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This side right here did well, but you better make up for it.
I'll work on it.
Over here. We're going to sing "To God Be the Glory." Great things He has done.
God be the glory, great things He has done, so loving the world that He gave us His Son, who lived His life and atoned for
Amen. He's done great things. Am I right this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a new song. I'm sure a few of you know it, but I'm going to have Jane sing this one time through, and we're going to use this chorus quite often, but it's entitled, You Deserve the Glory, not us. You, Lord, you deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship and praise your holy name. Listen as Jane sings and then join with us a second time through.
Let's start this again. Deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as you lift your holy name. You, Lord, you deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Join me now. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else, there is no one else like you. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one there like you. There is no
Jesus. We're going to pray together this morning. And I want you to think about the words of that song. Is he great in your life? Is he great? Can God do anything this morning? Absolutely he can. And we've got needs this morning that we want to remember and pray about. You know, I just received a notice this morning, and I don't know this family, but many of you do. And we want to lift up Arlene and family today, but I understand that a gentleman by the name of Tom Van Loan went home. He passed away early this morning in the early morning hours. I understand he'd had some serious health issues going on. We're going to pray for the Van Loan family today. We want to believe God today for the needs that are on the bulletin. We've added new needs, and there are great needs here, and these folks need miracles of God. They need the touch of God in their lives. I wonder how many of you today say, Pastor, include me in the prayer today. Just lift a hand. Say, I'm carrying a burden today. I've got a need. Slip a hand up across here. Sure. Sure. God is so faithful and so good and so able. He's so able this morning. We want to pray today for Dick, Nancy, and Fran. They're getting ready this week. They're heading out and be going to Guatemala to do missionary work. And I'm so proud of our folks that do this. They're heroes to me. they're willing to leave the comforts of home and the security of home and go and build and share and touch lives and change people's lives. And so, Dick and Nancy and Fran, would you stand to your feet? Would you guys just stand to your feet this morning? Amen. We're so glad that we have you in our church family. Thank you so much for having a heart for missions, for having a heart for the lost. We want to remember the Perseys. I heard from them, and just a little while I'll give you an announcement of what's going on in their world. But we want to pray for you guys today. Would you stand back up? I would like a few people to just gather behind or around them. Just stand to your feet and turn to them and put a hand on a shoulder this morning. If you're a person that believes in winning lost souls and you love people and you believe God can do anything, just join with them this morning. Just a couple of people. Would you join up with them? Amen. Just come on in and surround them this morning. Needs are great, but God is greater. God is greater this morning. Amen. I want us to just bow our hearts and our heads together and let's pray. Let's just seek the Lord together this morning. Father, we bow our hearts. Lord, what a beautiful song. What an anthem that we can just be reminded of this morning, that you are great. And God, the miracles of God that you did, Jesus, when you walked upon the earth and then you gave that anointing to your apostles and they ministered and then it continued on and it goes on today. And God, we just ask today, yes, we don't see a miracle every minute of the day. It would become commonplace, but miracles are in the power and the realm of God, and we believe for them today. Father, I pray for Dick and for Nancy and for Fran and for the members of their team that will be going to Guatemala to minister this next week and spending that time and building and bringing health support to those in need of health concerns. And God, that will be providing food and shelter and love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, protect these folks. Protect their team, Lord, as they travel and as they go, and watch over them and use them for your kingdom in a mighty way. Let their lives just be instruments in your hands today, and that men and women and boys and girls, most of all, would come to know Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. Father, we bless them today. Lord, we just send them off with your anointing today. Empower them and do mighty things through them. And may they come back rejoicing and carrying their sheaves with them. Father, we pray this morning for those on our bulletin list. God, there are so many and they need such a touch from you. And for those that lifted a hand this morning in this house of worship, Lord Jesus, just pour into these folks your touch, your healing, your joy, your peace, your victory, your wisdom. Whatever it is that there's a need, Spirit of the living God, begin to flow into the lives of these, your people that are in this list and in this house today. And Father, we lift up Arlene Van Loan and her family. Lord, we just commit them all unto you today as Tom has passed away, as he's going on to meet you, Lord. And Father, we just pray today that comfort and peace would be theirs. And Lord, those that are in this house of worship that are grieving, that were friends, close friends of them, just minister. Holy Spirit, minister unto them. And touch them, we pray. Father, we know that our needs can be great at times, but help us to focus in our faith that our God is more than enough and nothing is impossible for God. And so we trust you with our lives, we trust you with our families, we trust you with our circumstances. And we believe, God, that you are working in the midst of us, even at times when we don't see the hand of God at work. We trust that, God, you're working mightily for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you so much for praying today, church, with us. Thank you, Dick and Nancy and Fran. And we will continue to pray and believe God together with you. We're thinking this morning of a couple of things. I want to just take a moment to welcome anyone who is worshiping here at Nettles Island Church with us today. This may be your very, very first Sunday, your first time to join us. And we welcome you. We're so glad. We love to just open the doors to new friends. And so because of that, we have a little token, a little gift. It's a promise book that has all of the promises of God at fingertip reach. You just open it up and you find the index and takes you right to a Bible verse, and it gives a promise of God so you can just know what God is saying about your situation. And our ushers are getting ready to come by. So just need to ask this. If this is your very first time today, would you slip up a hand, hold it up, and right up front, we've got some new friends right here in the front row, so I need Ed to come up this way. Anybody else this morning? Where? I'm missing. Oh, right over here, we've got some new friends today. Up here, Helen, come on up here this way, cut right on through. And these folks in the third row right on the end, and we've got some folks over here. Man, that's great. Thank you so much, folks, for being with us today right here. We welcome you today. We welcome you today. And then Helen right here, these wonderful folks that are right here. God bless you. Anybody else? It's hard for me to see without my glasses all the way to the back. But did we miss anybody this morning? All right. Well, let's welcome our new friends this morning. Let's let them know we're glad to have them with us. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you today. Thank you for joining us. Amen. We're so glad that you've come to be with us. Well, we've got some announcements this morning that I need to share with you, and I'm not going into all the announcements that are in the bulletin. I'm going to just let you read all those on your own this morning, but I do want to mention today that this is a very special day for some this week for some folks. We've got birthdays. We've got a couple of folks that birthdays are, they're in the 90s, 94. And 91. So Bob Bash is 94 and Millie Young is 91. And I don't see either of them. They'll probably be, oh, there's Bob. There's Bob. Bob, stand up. Millie will be in the second service. Happy birthday, Bob. Happy birthday. God bless you. I should have realized you're in the choir. You have to be at both services today. That's awesome. And then I just heard as I came in this morning, a little bird flew by and told me that it was Ken Jonak's birthday today. So Ken, where are you at? Happy birthday today, Ken. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else have a birthday this week? Anybody else, slip a hand up if you've had a birthday this week or the week coming, this past week or the week coming. Anybody? Are you serious? Oh, here we go. Here we go. Well, thank you. God bless you. Amen. Happy birthday to you as well. A little bit timid there. He's like, pastor's going to ask me what birthday it is, and I'm not going to tell him. I'm not going to tell him. Well, I just want to share with you a couple more things today. Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday, and as a church, we believe in the value of birth. We just believe what the Bible says, and the Bible says that before we were born, we were known. Before the birth started, before conception, God knew us. And so today is Sanctity of Life. And we support a group locally. It's called CareNet of the Treasure Coast. Last year we had the director here and she shared and spoke. And we are supporting them fully. We support them every month with missions. And we give to them. So as you give, we give it back out. And they are doing a wonderful job in saving the lives of little babies. And so I want you to just keep that in mind. You have an insert in your bulletin. Enough said by me at the pulpit this morning, but just pray this week and today especially as Sanctity of Life. Bless those that are making choices to keep their babies and just pray that God would honor them. And those that have maybe not known the way of the Lord and they've given up babies, they've sacrificed their babies, because they felt whatever they felt. Let's pray for them today that God would touch their hearts. God loves people, doesn't he? He loves everybody. Nobody's outside of the reach of God's loving hand and arm. So we just need to love and pray for people. I do want to mention one real quick thing here about missions update. I got an email yesterday from the Perseys that are now in Peru. We prayed for them, believed God for them last Sunday, and they arrived very safe and very healthy and strong, and all their equipment came, and they didn't have any problems getting through customs. And so they have been working this week, building and ministering and doing all kinds of things, and they just wanted us to know that, and they wanted me to thank you today for your prayers for them. Keep praying for the Perseys. Continue to pray as well for the Geerlings and for Fran as they go and their team. They're going down. Fran and Nancy and Dick are going down. They're going to build approximately four homes. I think we have a video on that. I know, I messed it all up, didn't I? It's all my fault. I switched it all up. So here we have a little bit of pictures that Nancy sent me from one of the other times there. Up at the top, they're building houses. They're going to build 14 of those. You can see the inside. They live a little more rustic than you and I do. We have a lot to be thankful for here in America. And there's Nancy. She's going to be doing some medical work as a nurse and feeding and caring. And then they have this little child that they support on a regular basis. There's a lot of things that are going to be going on as they go and as they minister and as they leave. And so pray for them. I think there are about 30 others that will be joining them from their church up north and going with that. And so, Tammy, if I can get you back to the inspirations. Next Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, right here. You want to come a little early to get a seat, but at 5 o'clock, we're going to begin with the inspirations. They'll be with us, these gentlemen, this quartet will be here, and we've got a little teaser that I just want to share with you this morning. So please enjoy that. And after we get through with that, Steve's going to come back and lead us in another congregational song. So enjoy the inspirations.
Those good old days back home, when our friends would gather, when revival time would come, you'd hear them pray and sing and shout for miles and miles around. And seems that I could almost see the Holy Ghost come down. Now give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, it's good enough for me.
At church we join the singing and make the rafters ring, and then some good old sister would shout, oh, praise his name. And one thing that's so clear to me on that revival day is how my heart would leap for joy when Dad would kneel to pray. Just
over in the glory land I'll join,
yes, join
the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land.
I wish that I could somehow go back to long ago and hear those sainted voices that used to thrill me so. But there's a day that's coming soon, the time's not far away, when we can sing forevermore like on revival day. He taught me how to watch and pray, and of every joy, sing every day.
Oh, happy day,
when Jesus washed my sins away.
Next week at 5 o'clock, join us.
I kind of wanted to start singing with them. I don't know about you. Give me that old-time religion. Who sung that before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to change the pace a little bit, and I'm going to ask you if you're able to stand with me, because I want you to sing with all you got this morning. We're going to sing a well-known chorus, I Love You, Lord, and I Lift My Voice to Worship You. Sing with us this morning as we sing this song.
Worship you. great joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet song in your ear. I love, I love you, Lord, and I lift my hands to worship you, oh my soul.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. That just sets the pace. Boy, that makes it so easy for me to just step in this morning and follow your worship to the Lord. Thank you for worshiping Him and giving Him the glory and the honor that He deserves this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23? And then when you get there, just maybe thumb back through and get to the book of James. We'll be looking at a couple of verses in James in just a little bit. This morning we're going to talk about guarding our heart, guarding our heart. Did you know, and I'm sure that you did, that the most important muscle in your body is the heart? You knew that, right? I did a little research because I'm not very medically minded, and I learned this week that a heart beats about 115,000 times a day. It's a lot of beats. The heart pumps about 2,000 gallons, so to speak, of our blood. There's not that much blood in us, but it's pumping through, and it equates out to 2,000 gallons of liquid goes through our heart every day. Did you know that a woman's heart beats slightly faster than a man's heart, unless he's in love? I added that. How about this one? Most heart attacks happen on Mondays. I'm taking Mondays off from now on. But medical science, it reminds us that we constantly need to take better care of our heart if we want a productive and a long life. In fact, I have a little slide here that I pulled off the internet, 10 tips for heart health. Well, stop smoking and get plenty of exercise and take preventative action with your diabetes and blood sugar and all that, and plan to lower your alcohol intake and aim to for an average of 7 hours of sleep a night. And if you lose weight, do it slow and steady. And if you have family history of high blood pressure, et cetera, purchase stuff and monitor. And I'm not a yoga guy. I eat yogurt once in a while, but I don't know about that one. Boost healthy heart nutrition with fruits and vegetables, and I'm sad to say, cut out the McDonald's French fries. So you know about that this morning, and certainly there's good wisdom in that, and we need our hearts to stay healthy, and so that's an important thing for us. But the question this morning for us that I'm asking of us is, how's the condition of your heart? How is the condition? What is the condition of your heart? Is it strong, and is it healthy, or is it weak, and is it struggling, failing to keep up with the job that it was designed to do? Now, the heart I'm talking about is not the one I just led in with to grab your attention this morning, but the heart I'm talking about is not your physical heart, but our spiritual hearts. How's our heart doing this morning? You see, within each and every one of us here today is a spiritual heart that's at the center of our beings. Our spiritual heart controls our will, our desires, our motives, and our actions. And unfortunately, just as the physical heart can suffer from disease, so can our spiritual hearts suffer from disease. And it's a more serious and deadly thing than even the physical side of taking care of this physical heart. You see, a couple of weeks ago, we were sharing a message on seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Many of you were here. You remember that message, hopefully, and you were here for that. And if we really, as a desire and as a goal for 2024, want to make it our best effort to do this, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, if that's our priority, then we're going to need to do something that the Bible tells us to do, and that's to guard our hearts. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the writer wisely says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows out from it. Guard our hearts. I know that you know about the Great Wall of China. And that wall was built many, 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 many years ago. It's one of the seven wonders of the world, and it's impressive because it's over 2,000 miles long. It was built over a process of 2,000 years, and it was built so high that no enemies could climb over it. It was built so wide or thick that no one could break it down. And yet in the first 100 years of the wall's existence, China was invaded 3 times. Yet not one time did the enemy ever break down the wall or climb over the wall. So how'd they get into the city? How'd they get through to get into where the people were? The answer is, every time the enemy simply bribed the gatekeeper and they just marched right on in through. Now, walls are meant to protect us. In fact, in ancient times, when invaders came to conquer a town, in biblical times, the inhabitants would all run back inside the walls. They would retreat inside the walls to the castle, and they would be there, and they would work together to defend themselves behind the walls. But a city whose walls are broken down has no defense. And any invader can force, invading force can march in and take possession of the city. And so walls and guards are an important necessity to protect what's most valuable. And we want to see what the Bible tells us about protecting or guarding this heart, this matter that's so important. And so the word guard means really protect or maintain your heart. And the author of Proverbs tells us, we are to guard it. Why does he say that? Because he knows that God knows that our hearts, our innermost spiritual life, our moral life, will face times of attack. We're vulnerable. Our hearts are vulnerable to being attacked by the enemy. And so the one guarding the heart, that's you and I, the owner of that spiritual heart, should be aware that attacks are coming and we should be on the lookout. We should be prepared for that. And so you and I as believers, we know that we have an arch enemy who roams around, the Bible tells us, seeking to destroy us. He seeks around, roams as a roaring lion seeking to destroy and to ruin our lives. Last Sunday morning when we were sharing communion, one of the points in that was that the blood of Jesus keeps us from the work of the enemy. When he comes in like a flood, the Bible says God raises up a standard against him. And that standard in our lives is what the Word of God tells us. And the power source that we have that will defeat the enemy, the devil, every time is the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus and the Word of God. But believe it or not, the devil is not always our greatest problem in life. When it comes to guarding our hearts, he's not always the greatest threat. We want to put that on him. We want to say it's him. Although he can tempt us, and he does, and he launches deceptions at us. And the fact is, Christian, I'm talking to believers today, he cannot force us to do anything against our choice or our will. I want you to know that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. The devil doesn't have greater power over the Holy Spirit of God that resides in us and through us, and God's given us the will, the freedom of will to make the choice and decide, will we follow that thought or that temptation, or will we say no? And that comes down to a matter of the heart. But yet we often like to blame everything that goes wrong and everything I do wrong, we like, or you do wrong, we like to blame on the devil, don't we? We like to say, well, the devil made me do that. The devil made me do it. But for the blood-bought child of God, with greater is he that is in us, Holy Spirit, living inside of us, the devil cannot make us do anything. Now let's go to James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. I'll show you that in just a second here. The Bible says that when you and I as Christians, when we're tempted, no one should say, hey, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person, now follow this, is tempted when they are dragged away. The devil may do the dragging sometimes. Sometimes I drag myself. But how are we dragged away? By the people that he's talking to, by our own evil desire, and we're enticed. Yes, the devil will try to set us up and he'll tempt us with the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, as 1 John chapter 2 tells us. But God has made it so that we are able to resist Satan and he will flee from us. Amen? Amen. That's true. That's Bible. So if it's not the devil, then what then is our greater concern that stands in the way of where we are now at this moment and from where God, from what God has for us to pour into our lives and to bless us? What's standing in the way of God's best for our lives? Thought about that this week, and I came to the thought that truly it's the man or the woman that we see when we're standing in front of the mirror every morning. At times, I'm my own worst enemy. At times, sometimes I'm dragged away by my own evil desires. James goes on, and if you'll jump down in chapter 1, we're still in James, but verse 15, and then we'll jump to 19. In verse 15, it says, then after that desire that's drugged me away has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Then in verse 19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save. That word save means rescue you or keep you safe, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. The old King James version of that verse. Now Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19 is Jesus talking, and Jesus says this. He says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. They come from the heart. And that's what defiles them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts and murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. So how do we defeat these kinds of things? James tells us we're to stay focused on the Lord, that we're supposed to focus on the Word of God and not to believe it. It's God that's tempting us, and not to put all the blame on the devil. But when we mess up, when we go astray, it's our own evil desires. And he goes on and tells us that we need to be trusting in the Word and having the Word working in us. And then Jesus says that our hearts can cause us problems sometimes. The Bible tells us that our hearts are deceitful and they're wicked, our hearts. So how do we defeat these internal saboteurs so that we can walk in everything that God has for us, everything good that God wants to do in our lives, and move beyond struggling against the same issues over and over and over again? The answer is in the verse I read in the beginning this morning in Proverbs chapter 4. We need to guard our hearts. You see, God's given you and I the responsibility of guarding our own hearts in order to maintain our witness to the world and to live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. And there are three fundamental spiritual disciplines that will help us to do that. This. It's not difficult. It's not hard. We just have to discipline ourselves. We have to make these disciplines part of our daily life. Number one is to maintain intimacy with God through daily prayer. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 in verse 1, men ought to always pray and not to cease. Paul the Apostle reiterates that, he reverberates that in 1 Thessalonians to the believers in Thessalonica in chapter 5. He says, pray without ceasing. Be a man or a woman of prayer. Prayer is so important. I think we'd be surprised today if we were able to take a toll on how little people pray, how little Christians pray, how little pastors pray, how little spiritual leaders pray, how little the church prays today. I think we'd be shocked and surprised at how neglected prayer and daily communion with the Lord is in the lives of so many that call Jesus their Lord and their Savior. I want you to notice just a couple of, listen to these spiritual giants and what they believed in prayer. A.J. Gordon said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you can never do more than pray until you have prayed. E.M. Bounds said, four things we should always keep in mind. God hears prayer, God heeds prayer, God answers prayer, and God delivers by prayer. Another thing that he said, prayer breaks all bars, it dissolves all chains, it opens all prisons, it widens all straits by which God's saints have been held. And then C.S. Lewis said, and I want you to, these are all good, but this one really stuck out to me, prayer doesn't change God, it changes me. Amen? Prayer doesn't change God. God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. But prayer will change you and me. And the only way that I've discovered to become more like Jesus is to spend time with Him. The only way to grow an intimacy that produces His nature and His character in me and is guarding my heart is to spend time with Jesus. And so building a consistent and regular prayer time to seek the Lord each day will serve as a mechanism or a guard for yours and my heart. Let's do that. Let's make that commitment this year. We're going to pray more than we've ever prayed before. Let's wake up in the morning, if it's by the rooster crow or by the alarm clock, or you just have that natural habit at 5 o'clock, your eyes open, let the first thing that happens be that you begin to pray and seek the Lord and praise Him even before you get out of bed in the morning. Or if you're one of those that wants to kneel and honor the Lord in kneeling, then roll out or jump out and kneel by the bed and just begin your day. Even if it's 2 minutes or 5 minutes, start that day in the presence of the Lord, because it will guard your heart. The second thing is that we need to study the Word of God diligently. We need to study the Word. Spend time with an open Bible. When's the last time that you opened your Bible and spent some time with it? Some of us maybe can't even find our Bibles. Others of us, we might find them and go, man, how'd this inch of dust get on my Bible cover, you know? And church, I'm telling you, if we want to be people that walk with God and walk and are seeking Him first and having the victory in our lives, we've got to be people of the Word. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I've hidden your Word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You see, when we spend time in the Word of God, we are growing in wisdom and we make better life decisions. Spending time in the Bible is the second spiritual discipline that God uses to guard our hearts and mold us to be more and more like Jesus Christ and like Him in His image. And so as you feed your heart and your mind on the Word of God, you'll find that you're beginning to exhibit more and more of God's nature in your life. Oh, Lord, make me more like You. And then we don't pray and we don't read and we don't spend time. You see, what happens when we're in the Word of God, when we're spending time with Him, we begin to grow in God's love, in His joy, in His peace and patience and kindness and goodness and fruitfulness and gentleness and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit just naturally begin to develop in our lives. And that person that we see in the mirror that we don't want to be next year this time won't be that person next year that time, because we will have grown in these areas. You see, the Word of God is what changes my heart and your heart. It's the Word, as we invest it, as we spend time and we read a passage and we stop and we say, Holy Spirit, reveal this to me. Show me what You want to say to me out of this passage today and how You can change my life. And as we do that, God will honor that and He'll begin to minister great life change in all of us. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit in us who is living Christ's life through us. Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it's Christ who's living out His life in me. That happens to people who are guarding their hearts. So be immersed in the Word of God. It's powerful, and it'll work. And number three is to activate the incredible power of worship. The power of worship in your lives. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19 this morning with us. The Bible encourages us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your heart. It's another mechanism to guard our hearts. Friends, we underestimate the power of worship. You say, well, Pastor, I don't sing very well. It doesn't matter. Go get in the shower, turn the shower on, close the shower door, send your husband or wife out to get some groceries, and just sing away. Just worship the Lord. I promise you, you'll get better and better, and one day Steve will need you on the worship team if you start just worshiping the Lord. We underestimate the power of worship. Worship brings in the presence and the glory, and with that comes the power of the Lord. And where the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says, there's liberty or freedom. There's victory in that. In these trying times, and these times are trying, every day I wake up, I hate to look at watch the news anymore. I hate to look at the apps on my phone. I don't find anything that's good and encourages my heart. It's just negative. The Democrats hate the Republicans, right? There's wars all over the world. There's all kinds of trouble and trial. And so in these trying times, in these difficult times, the stock market's up, it's way down, and you know, inflation is crazy, and you can't afford to buy a house, and insurance is going up, and everything is so negative out there. But we, in these trying times, it's important to understand and practice the power of worshiping the Lord. It'll defeat the devil when he comes at you like a roaring lion. You've heard me mention this before, but I love this song. It's by an old group, an old quartet, been around forever, called the Imperials. And the chorus in one of their songs is, I think the song title is Just Praise the Lord. And it says, when you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, it's not a little skirmish, it's a struggle if it's shattering your world. He says, it goes on, says, praise the Lord, for He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. You get God into a situation and you've got, you and God are going to conquer everything that's out there. And so God inhabits the praises of His people. Praise the Lord for the chains that are seemingly binding you. They're going to only serve to remind you that they're going to drop powerless behind you when you begin to praise Him. You say, Pastor, that's a song. I know it's a song, but it's based on the foundation of biblical principle. In the book of Acts chapter 16, you've got Paul and Silas. They have been arrested and they've been incarcerated in the very center of the prison, the Roman prison, and they have been beaten severely. And it's midnight. I mean, they've been beaten to the point that they have open wounds. They don't just have some red marks on their back and on their body. They have bled for the cause of Christ. They have bled because they've stood up for Jesus, and they have been arrested after they were beaten. They've thrown in there and they probably were put in there unconscious. Around midnight, Paul comes to consciousness, and he calls out, Silas, are you here? And Silas says, yeah, Paul, I'm here. And Paul says, Silas, we just need to begin to worship the Lord. Let's sing. Silas says, I don't feel like singing, Paul. My back hurts. I told you to leave that little demon-possessed girl alone, but you wouldn't do it. I told you it was none of our business, but you had to cast that devil out of her, and her people got mad, and they took us to the magistrate, and here we are because you wouldn't listen to me, Paul. And Paul says, come on, Silas, let's just worship the Lord together. Let's begin to praise Him. They're in shackles. They're beaten up. They're hurting. They don't have Tylenol. They don't have anything that they can take to ease the pain. But in that midnight hour, as Paul and Silas begin lifting their voices and begin praising the Lord, the Bible will tell you, you can look it up, Acts 16, that all of a sudden the power of God descended and there was a mighty earthquake over that prison area, and the jail cells opened up and all of the shackles came off, and the jailer was afraid because he knew he would be tortured if a prisoner ran away, and what prisoner wouldn't run away if the doors are open and the shackles are gone? But not one did. And as the jailer was ready to fall on his sword because it would be the most humane way to die with what was coming to him, Paul cries out and says, do yourself no harm. We're all here. The jailer can't believe it. It opened the opportunity of that jailer's heart to receive the gospel. And so as Paul and Silas begin to talk to him, as they begin to share the love of Jesus in his heart, he responds and he receives Jesus as his personal Savior and his Lord. And he says to them, let me take you to my house. I've got family there. We'll doctor your wounds. And they wash their wounds for Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas share the gospel. And that whole jailer's household become born-again believers because of the power of praise and worship and what God can do in the midst of a seemingly difficult or overbearing situation. Listen, one of the things that the enemy will do in our lives to grip and twist our hearts is to cause us a situation that wants to lead us into hopelessness and despair. You'll feel like you're in the very center of that prison and you're bound up and you've been beaten like Paul and Silas with your situation, and he wants us to just give up. That's the whole culture of our young people today. Most of the kids that are out there in their 20s and 30s, they feel hopeless. They'll never have the life that their parents had. They'll never own a home, some of them feel. And they won't have good jobs, and their college education has failed them to find work. They can't even pay off their college debt. We have a generation behind us that walks around in hopeless despair, and they need to know that God is the answer, that Jesus is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And they'll only see that. The Bible that they'll read is your life, your heart, as it's exhibited as you're guarding it. The devil wants to mess us up, but exalting the Lord in times of trouble with songs of praise and worship will drive out the disappointment and the despair. It'll destroy the despair, and it'll turn depression into enthusiasm and doubt into faith. praising the Lord, singing a song from your heart to the Lord, meditating on Him, worshiping Him, getting into the Psalms and reading the Psalms and lifting your hands and your heart and saying, God, I'm just going to worship You, will change the circumstance of your life. But while it's doing that, you will be guarding your heart. As I close this morning, to live in victory and to seek after Christ's kingdom and live out His righteousness, we've got to follow the wisdom of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Guard your hearts above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Your heart determines how and where in this life and in the afterlife we will end up. I like what Psalm 18:24, it's in a modern version. I like this version. It's the Message version. Listen to what it says. God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to His eyes. I'll say it again. God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to His eyes. Saints, this morning, my heart goes out to us. Let's let God rewrite our stories. Let's let God rewrite. The psalmist says here, God rewrote the text of my life when I opened my heart to Him. Let's do that. Let's open our hearts and say, God, I'm going to spend time with You. You know, reading the Bible, prayer, worship, those three things all come to the same end. They bring the presence and the power of God into our life when we need it most. Those things will guard our hearts. So this morning, let's do that. Let's let Him do that so that we can have peace and we can walk in His victory. Let's let our heart have a wrapped band around it. Remember those bands on our wrists? What would Jesus do? Maybe our heart could have one of those. What would Jesus do? And we could live our lives for Him. Where do you want to be next year this time? Where do you want to be in your walk with God? Where do you want to be in your knowledge, in your growth with God? Where do you want to be in your fellowship with God? Are you satisfied with today, that what you have this moment? Or do you want to be at a new place with new heights? It begins as we surrender our lives, as we guard our hearts, pray, be in the Word, and worship. Nothing new you've never heard before. You've heard it. It's three spiritual disciplines that will change your life and my life this year. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. We just yield our hearts and our lives to You. Father, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that You would just take hold of us. Lord, as we surrender our hearts and surrender everything that we have, it begins in the heart. So, Lord, we just come to You right now and we ask You to minister to us. Lord, I pray that if there's someone in this service who has never, ever given their heart to You, they've never even offered their heart, forget about guarding it, they've never yielded and given it to You. They're not a believer yet. They've never surrendered. They've never said, God, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me. I receive You as my Savior and as my Lord. I pray, Lord, today, that no one would leave this place and not know Jesus. But right now, in the quietness of this moment, in the seats where they're seated, that they would say, Jesus, come into my heart. Father, I pray today for the rest of us that this would be a marked day, that we would say, God, I surrender to You my heart. I'm going to guard it. I'm going to make a fresh commitment to be doing these disciplines we've talked about today. For Father, if we do, our life and our world will change amazingly. And so, Father, I pray Your blessing upon Your people today. Just keep us safe. Keep us close to You. Watch over us in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me and let's sing together the Lord's Prayer. Let's honor Him and worship Him. When you sing, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, offer your heart and your will to Him. Lord in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts.